Morning, church. Thanks, Andrew. I just want to thank our senior pastors, Pastor Steve, Pastor Unami, and all the pastors for this opportunity. And most of all, I want to thank our Lord and Savior Jesus. And I just want to say welcome to all, especially those that have traveled a bit from Bunbury. I got Marlene. Where's Marlene? Ah, thanks, Marlene, for coming all the way from Bunbury. Yeah, and then a few other visitors. Good to see you. We're just going to do things. It's just a communion service today, so I've been told not a long word. I think they said 20 minutes. I'm going to try my best on this. And then I'm going to invite everybody up to get the communion. And then you go back to your seat. Don't take it just yet, because there's going to be a video for about 4 minutes, I think. And then from there, I'll lead you into the communion. And then after that, I'll call anybody up if there's prayer or any dedications. Amen? So, I think we're still busy with the series, Pastor Steve. Huh? Is that the cross and our salvation? So, yeah. I've got a scripture there, please, Jenny. I think it's Matthew 27, from verse 32. So I think it's best for me just to read this. All right. Now, as they came out, they found a man of Cyrene, Simon by name. Him they compelled to bear his cross. And when they had come to a place called Golgotha, that is to say, place of a skull, they gave him sour wine mingled with gall to drink. But when he had tasted it, he would not drink. Then they crucified him and divided his garments, casting lots, that it may be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophets. They divided my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots. Sitting down, they kept watch over him there, and they put up over his head the accusation written against him, "This is Jesus, the King of the Jews." Then two robbers were crucified with him, one on the right and another on the left. And those who passed by blasphemed him, wagging their heads and saying, "You who destroyed the temple and built it in 3 days, save yourself, if you are the Son of God. Come down from the cross." Likewise, the chief priests also mocking with the scribes and the elders said, "He saved others, himself he cannot save. If he is the King of Israel, let him come now down from the cross and we will believe him. He trusted in God. Let him deliver him if he will have him. For he said, 'I am the Son of God.'" Even the robbers who were crucified with him reviled him with the same thing. Now from the sixth hour until the ninth hour, there was darkness over all the land. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani?" That is, my God, why have you forsaken me?" Some of those who stood there, when they heard that, said, "This man is calling for Elijah." Immediately one of them ran and took a sponge, filled it with sour wine, and put it on a reed, and offered it to him to drink. The rest said, "Let him alone. Let us see if Elijah will come to save him." And Jesus cried out again with a loud voice and yielded up his spirit. Then behold, the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. And the earth quaked and the rocks were split and the graves were opened. And many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised. And coming out of the graves after his resurrection, they went into the holy city and appeared to many. So when the centurion and those who were with him, who were guarding Jesus, saw the earthquake and the things that had happened, they feared greatly, saying, "Truly, this was the Son of God." And many women who followed Jesus from Galilee, ministering to him, were there, looking on from afar. among whom were Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James and Joseph, and the mother of Zebedee's sons. So yeah, I just had to read that. So if we just back it up a little bit more, we'll see when they went and took Jesus from the garden, and the governor was trying him, who was Pontius Pilate, and they were asking him a lot of questions, and Jesus wasn't answering. Pontius Pilate was marveled, like, you're not saying nothing. Usually somebody will defend themselves. Yes, I know I am. I'm the Son of God. But they accused him, and he just kept quiet. So Pontius Pilate said, so is that true what they say, that you say you are the king of the Jews? And he said, it is as you say. And continuing with that, his wife came and said to him, look, have nothing to do with this innocent man, because I've had some bad dreams, and just he's innocent. But the Jews were more adamant that, nah, we want him to suffer. So usually at that time of the year, the Passover, they would release one prisoner. So they had a notorious prisoner, Barabbas, who was, you don't want him in the community. But because they were so bent on Jesus going to the cross, Pontius said, who must I release between Barabbas and Jesus? And they screamed, Barabbas. And he said it again. Who must I release? Are you sure you need this bad man in the community? But they were so blinded. You see, this is what the enemy is doing to us nowadays, is blinding the people from the truth. And they said again, Barabbas. So Pontius Pilate washed his hands. He said, I've got nothing to do with it. Do whatever you want. And we see that's the choice we have today. Are we choosing Jesus? Are we choosing the world? That's Barabbas. Everything that goes in the world is the man, bad man. But that's what's going on. People are choosing Barabbas even today. And so we know, we just read now what happened to Jesus. And so in the beginning of his ministry, we find that Jesus was in the temple teaching, and there was people all around him. And a message came from outside, your mother, your brothers, and your sisters are sending for you. But Jesus said, these around me, these are my mother, my brother, and my sister. Those who hear the word and do it. Not just hear the word, but they also do it. And so that's who we are here today, the church, the body of Christ. We are brothers and sisters in Christ. And so if you could just greet your brother and your sister next to you. Amen. Yeah, so let me just put on my radar. Yeah, so we do have our immediate families, which is important. But this is fellowship. This is holding each other accountable. You know, the word accountable, respect, honesty, and conduct. We're trying to be better people. That's what we want. And this is who we are, the church, and we need to encourage each other. So let's go to the next scripture. Please, Jeanette. 2 Corinthians. I think Andrew just used my scripture just now. yeah. That's confirmation, Andrew, anyway. Him who knew no sin became sin, so we could become the righteousness of God in him. I mean, that's complete right there. Jesus, who knew no sin, became sin for us. So it's just justification, just as if we had not sinned. That's what he's done for us. That the slate could be wiped clean, but the condition is we got to follow him and obey his word. It can't just be, yes, my slate is wiped clean, let me continue what I've been doing all the time. No, we've got to make a commitment. And we see that Jesus was the creator of the world, because nothing was made without him. The creator of the universe decided to come down to earth to pay the ransom price by death on the cross, to set us free. To set us free from sin. And ransom is like, just an example. Say somebody, this is way back in time, was enslaved because they could not pay the debt. And so the people that have enslaved him will become the owners, because now he has to work for those people until the debt is paid. And then the family of this person says, hey, let's try and raise some money to pay the price to release this guy. But nobody can help. But here comes a distant relative from far away. And he says, all right, I've got the money. Can I pay for this guy just to release him? And the people, the owners say, no. The debt is too much. There's only one way. Is you got to pay with your life. And the relative says yes. And now the enslaved person is set free. That is you and I today. This is what Jesus has done for us. He's paid that price with his blood for us to be set free. But the question is, are we choosing to follow and be thankful for what he's done for us by saying, thank you, Lord, I will obey your commandments? Or is it just, now that I'm free, let me go back to do what I've done before and not be thankful for what has taken place? So we have this choice, and it's all about choice. You know, what we're going to do to make sure that we are the Christians we say we want to be, because there's no use. Yes, I'm a child of God. Everybody knows it. You're an example. But they see you walking, but you're having a bit of a fall. What's going on with this guy? In the meanwhile, a bit too much wine. And now, ow, but this man, we know him from the church. Is that a good example? It's not going to be a good example. If we say we are thankful for what Jesus did for us, let us keep that commitment so that people will take an example from there. And we go on to see, I mean, Jesus was a suffering servant, and he did it all for us, so we've been freed from there. But we see another example when we go to the next scripture, Janine in Acts. And this is what Pastor Steve was just talking about at the prayer meeting last Friday. And we see that King Herod Agrippa had taken Peter and James to prison. And then he had James killed, because the people of the day, the Jews, they were happy, because now they were causing a stir. The disciples were winning a lot of people to Christ. And they said, nah, we can't have this. So let's make an example. So they took James, had him killed. So the next one in line is Peter. And this is going to take place on the Monday, this is after the weekend. So we see what happens there. Peter was therefore kept in prison, but constant prayer was offered to God for him by the church. That's by you and I, brother and sister. Are we praying for somebody today? Somebody that needs to know the Lord. Somebody that's going through something. This is what our job is as believers. And now Peter was kept in prison, but constant prayer was offered to him by the church. And when Herod was about to bring him out, that night Peter was sleeping, bound by two chains between two soldiers. And the guards before the door were keeping the prison. Now behold, an angel of the Lord stood by him, and a light shone in the prison. And he struck Peter on the side and raised him. Now, you're on the death sentence. You're on death row. You got one night, then the next day you're going to be knocked out. But yet Peter's having a good sleep. The peace of God, it's amazing. Eh? When you're a child of God, you've got that peace. There's Peter fast asleep. He's going to be killed in a day's time. And so the angel woke him up. Arise quickly. And his chains fell off his hands. Then the angel said to him, gird yourself and tie on your sandals. So he did. And he said to him, put on your garment and follow me. And so he went out and followed him. So we see what's happening here. This is a miracle because of the prayers of the saints. And he's been led out of the prison. All the way down the road, he realizes, I'm not dreaming. He thought he's having a dream. This is real. Our God is alive, brother and sister. He's real. We got to know that we serve a living God and he's able to do whatever we ask or think or imagine. And Peter's on his way. He comes to the house where they're praying. And he knocks. And everybody is deep in prayer. But there's a girl, Rhoda, that runs to the door. But because she's so excited about hearing that voice, because if you've been running away from somebody, you're not going to scream. It's me, Peter. No, no, no. He knocked, knocked, and it's Peter, Peter. And the girl heard, and she ran back to tell the people that are praying, Peter's at the door. And they said, nah, you're beside yourself. But you're praying. Where's the belief, my brother and sister? Are we sure we're praying to the right God? Because you got to show some belief and faith. Nah. Peter's not, that's his angel is there by the door. And the girl went back again, Rhoda. And she, yes, it happened 3 times. Until at last, they opened the door. Yes, Peter's there. Don't stop praying. Keep praying. The answer's on the way. And this is what has happened. We have been bound before. Bound, I mean, by the things of the world. But Jesus is able to set us free. You know? Back in the day, I used to come from work before I gave my heart to the Lord. And I would just come in, have a shower, and I'm gone to be with friends for about 2.5 hours, 3 hours, every night. But that didn't worry me because that's what the life I lived. But those chains have been broken. We have been set free. Christ is alive. And yes, Christ died on the cross and then he went down to the depths. And the gates have been opened. The gates of hell, he's taken the keys and come back. Today, the church, the gates of hell cannot prevail against the church. Because whatever we bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever we loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. We have the power of Jesus given to us. The keys have been given to us. Are we using them for the right purpose? Are we trying to unlock the wrong doors? No. It's been given to us so that we can prevail against the forces of darkness. And we go to Ephesians. Now, this is the scripture in Ephesians about the spiritual warfare. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. So, all the weapons are there, given to us. But we've got to use it. Because our warfare is not normal. You're not fighting against flesh and blood that you can maybe train, do a karate course or something to beat your opponent. This is rulers of darkness in heavenly places, this spiritual host of wickedness. This is a great battle. And we need each other. We need the church to stand together and to encourage one another. To say, come on, brother, let's do it. Let's go and pray, or let's go and visit somebody to build the church. This is the last Adam, right, was the first son. And then Jesus came, the second son. We're now on the third son, which is the church. But if we sit down and do nothing, what's going to be done out there to win the people over to Christ? We have to get up and stand up as the church of God. And so, my brother and sister, that's the tools we've been given. So you take, for an example, a young man walks into a luxury car shop, Mantla. Luxury sports cars, Lamborghini, Ferrari, all these cars. But he's only wearing sandals, shorts, and he's got a Man United t-shirt. That's all. He walks into the car shop and the salesman comes running. Please, 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 my friend, you can't come in here. What do you want to do here? There's nothing less than a million, yeah, for a car. Look how you look. But he takes out his cell phone from the back and he presses the bank account. 50 million. There. Salesman is on the floor. I'm so sorry. Please forgive me. This is a big mistake. Can I take you into the office? He's got the inheritance from his grandfather. He's the only grandson. The father had owned a mine before. This is Jesus. He's our inheritance. He knew when he dies on that cross, he's able to rise again the third day. Give us the keys, the weapons. Why are we fearful to say that we serve and believe in the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? He's got the resources. It's just up to us, our faith. So, my brother and sister, I'm going to say to you today, Jesus died on the cross. He bared our burdens. It's time for us to pick up our cross, right, and carry it for him. All we got to do is know it's a challenge every day. He did it. He showed us the way. It's our turn. Let's pick up our cross and follow him. Amen. Amen.